Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Well, we've had quite a journey from the beginning of this year. We started with this sermon series, Forgotten God, all about the Holy Spirit, and we've learned some amazing things. We've asked questions throughout this series and looked to God's Word for the answers. In week one, we asked the question, who is the Holy Spirit? And we learned that He's a divine person, He's a member of the Trinity, and He's every much God as the Father and the Son. We asked in week two, what is the gift of the Holy Spirit? And we learned that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon certain people to empower them to do certain tasks for God. The Holy Spirit would then return to God. But the gift of the Holy Spirit that's so different from the Old Testament is that in the New Testament time, all followers of Jesus will receive and experience the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And He empowers us to live this life that God wants us to live. Then we asked, what does the Holy Spirit do? And we broke this down into several parts. And even before we come to faith in Christ, He's working. And Jesus told us that when the Holy Spirit came, He would convict the world of man's sin, of God's righteousness, and one day, a coming judgment. We learned that in the time of our coming to faith in Christ, in conversion, that the Holy Spirit helps us solve our double trouble problem. We have a spiritual legal problem, and He saves us from the guilt of our sins through justification. We learned that He saves us from the power of sin sickness, our spiritual health problem, through regeneration or being born again. And we learned that in baptism, we receive both the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. We learn that the Holy Spirit, after our conversion, helps us through what the Bible calls sanctification or being made holy. Sanctification is a continuing process of inward character and attitudes, as well as an outward behavior and conduct in which the born-again person becomes more and more separated from sin and more like Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power and the strength to live the life God wants us to live. We also learn that the Holy Spirit, after conversion, also does something else important. He produces fruit in our lives, and He has a whole crop planned of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And Jesus said you can tell what kind of tree it is by the fruit. And in the same way, we can tell when the Holy Spirit resides in the life of a believer who exhibits this kind of fruit. And then finally, we learned that after conversion, the Holy Spirit does something else really important. He imparts spiritual gifts. And we learned that a spiritual gift is a calling to perform a task within the church. The Holy Spirit gives these gifts to each of us, not for our own benefit, but for the common good, and that we are to use these spiritual gifts well to serve one another. So with all of these great things that the Holy Spirit does, last week we asked the question, can anything hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in my life? If He's all that powerful and He's working for my good, can anything prevent Him from doing His work? And we learned that if you're a Christ follower, then you've received the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, and that means the Spirit is present with you, and He always sees everything that you do. And so if you keep on doing the things your sinful nature craves, it means that He's kind of sorry He's along for the ride. He's that passenger who feels unsafe in that car. And so when we ask this question, is there anything that can hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? We learned there was one thing. You can hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in your life by stubbornly refusing to listen and to follow Him. We also learned in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we're not to put out the Spirit's fire. How can you do that? Well, one way to stop a fire is to stop feeding it. And if you stop feeding the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, stopping reading God's Word, if you stop praying, if you stop worshiping, if you stop serving, you're going to put out the Spirit's fire. You can also smother it. You can make your life so busy with all kinds of things that you don't have time for the Lord and you don't have time to be a part of the church family. We also learned that you can extinguish the Spirit's fire by ignoring the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life and actively pursuing the desires of your sinful, selfish nature. So, in this concluding message, I've chosen a title called Living in the Spirit. How do we live this life that God wants us to live? Well, I'd like to encourage you to open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 8. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 908. And we want to take a look, starting in verse 1. The Apostle Paul begins the chapter this way. There is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. If you belong to Jesus, and if you have His Spirit residing in you, you don't have to wonder, am I saved? There's no condemnation. You've been justified. You've been born again. You've been filled with the Spirit. There is no condemnation. But let's pick it up in verses 2 to 4. He says, and because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have, and in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving us His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. So we have freedom from the power of sin and death, and we don't have to fear. And that is the good news of the gospel. Let's continue reading in verse 5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember, those that do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. So Paul introduces to us here this struggle between the sinful nature and the Holy Spirit. Which of these two forces will win the battle for your soul? Do you know? He used a very important word here to describe it. Letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. What's the issue here? It's the letting. Which one are you going to let? Let means to allow or to permit. Probably another way to describe what this letting is perhaps you've seen this traffic sign before. To yield. Now, I don't know about you, but this idea of yielding used to mean when I'm getting on the interstate, right? And I have to yield to the traffic that's already there. But somebody decided that a better way to design some of our intersections today is to put these things in. How many of you have struggled with these roundabouts? And they seem to be growing in popularity. The people that make the decisions put them all over the place. in some roundabouts have one lane and some have two. And I don't know about you, it's kind of confusing to me. But one thing you better do when you approach a roundabout is you better yield. And this idea of yielding is what Paul means here in Romans chapter 8 when he says that you need to let the Spirit control you. Don't let the sinful nature. Some other words to describe this letting, this yielding, is to submit or to surrender. When I approach that roundabout, I have to surrender my right to drive the speed limit in order to survive getting through it. And Paul says, letting the Spirit control your mind leads to two really important things, life and peace. And I think we've all experienced enough of the troubles of this world to realize those are two good things worth pursuing, aren't they? Life and peace. And if we let the Holy Spirit control us, if we yield to Him, if we submit and surrender, our lives are going to be a lot better and a lot more peaceful. So Paul continues in verse 14 with these important words. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share His suffering. So we see something awesome here. We are no longer slaves. Remember, Paul told us in Romans chapter 6 that when we sin, we become a slave to whatever it is that we're doing. And Jesus said that there's only one person that can save us from the slavery to sin, and it's the Son of God. So we no longer have to live as slaves, but now we live as children of God. I love this in Adult Bible Fellowship this morning. Steve talked about that being part of his favorite verse from chapter 9. The fact that we are now children of God, and because we're children, we are heirs, heirs to God's glory and everything that He has, and of course, He has it all. Now in John chapter 8, verses 34 and 36, this is where Jesus says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And a slave's not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. And if you belong to Jesus today, you're free. What do you think about that? Isn't that awesome? We are free because Jesus set us free. So we learn from Romans chapter 8 that there's no condemnation for those of us who now belong to Christ. There is freedom from the power of both sin and death. The power from the Holy Spirit actually gives us life. He empowers us to put to death the sinful nature. And that makes us no longer slaves, but we are now children of God. Now, Paul also wrote some significant things about living in the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. I'd like you to turn over there with me, please. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, that's on page 941. And I want you to notice, Paul is going to use this same idea of yielding, of letting. Watch what he says. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. So here we see it again, this idea of letting the Holy Spirit guide you. But Paul makes it clear, even though we decide to follow Christ, there's still a spiritual war going on. There are voices tempting us to do what's wrong, and another voice of the Spirit telling us to do what's right. And in Romans 8, Paul said, you don't have any obligation to listen to that other voice. And the same thing Paul says here in Galatians. You can tell him to get out of here. You can rebuke him and not listen to him, but it goes back to, who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to let have the influence in your life? And then Paul tells us, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul says, you can continue to follow the desires of your sinful nature, but you're not going to end up being a part of God's kingdom. That's not God's choosing, that's your choosing. He says, those who participate in sexual sins and lustful pleasure, who worship false gods and evil powers, who persist in hostility, quarreling, and outbursts of anger, those who pursue selfish ambition and schemes to divide others, those who pursue the party life of drinking, drugs, and wild living, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going to be part of it. But look what Paul says in the next verses, starting in 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Isn't that amazing? The only way the fruit of the Holy Spirit can grow in our lives is when the weeds are taken out. All the passions and desires of the sinful nature. Now, those of you that grow in your gardens, you know, you don't have to plant the weeds, do you? They just show up. And the same thing is true in the life of a believer who's trying to follow Jesus. You don't have to try to find temptation. It'll find you. And Paul says here, we need to get the weeds out. The weeds need to be uprooted. And he says this is accomplished by nailing them to the cross of Christ and crucifying them there. One time I participated in a Good Friday service that was a little unusual. After we read the story of how Jesus died, we actually had a cross that was stood up against a wall. And part of what people were encouraged to do was to take a slip of paper and write down some temptation or sin that is tripping them up. And they actually picked up a hammer and a nail and they nailed it to the cross to actively do what Paul is talking about here in a way that would not soon be forgotten. And he says, once we nail those desires to the cross, then we can follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Now in Ephesians 5:18, Paul said, don't be drunk with wine because that'll ruin your life. But instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let him control your life. But again, you have to yield to him. You have to decide. And it's something you have to decide each day. I want you to know this idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit is not about you getting more of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what this is about? This is about the Holy Spirit getting more of you. Let me describe it for you in another way. I want you to imagine there is a throne on your heart every day. And when you wake up, you are on the throne of your heart. You make all the decisions. You call all the shots. And when you do that, and you're still tempted to follow your sinful nature, it puts you in a pretty precarious situation. And what Paul is saying here about yielding to the Holy Spirit is you need to get down off of the throne and you need to invite the Holy Spirit to sit there. You need to invite Him to be the one calling the shots in your life. Because I'll tell you what, I've lived a few years, and I know a lot of times when I try to make my own decisions that are different than what God wants, never ends well. But I can't think of a time when I haven't yielded to the Holy Spirit and it hasn't turned out to be for my good. And I think that's a lesson that God wants us to learn. And He had Paul write about it in Romans 8, and He had him write it to the Galatians in chapter 5. And you know, I was taking a young man about 19 years old through the discipleship training. And when we got to this passage in Galatians 5, and he looked at this list of things that are brought on by the desires of the sinful nature, and then he compared that to the fruit of the Spirit, he said something that helped me come to an understanding that I had not yet come to. He said, you know, Dave, when I look at this list of the desires of the sinful nature, most of them are things that I do wrong. But he says, when I look at the fruit of the Spirit, they're attitudes of my heart. And he said, when I let these attitudes grow in my heart, I don't want to do those other things. And I'm like, wow. And that's what happens when I let the Holy Spirit be on the throne of my heart. I don't even want to live these other ways anymore. Do I get tripped up every now and then? Yeah. But remember, there's no condemnation when we're in Christ Jesus. God is not sitting up there, I'm watching you. You better not trip up. That's not His way. He gave you the Holy Spirit to empower you to live the life He wants you to live. He gave you the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. But you have to let Him. You have to let Him. You have to yield and submit and surrender. Francis Chan wrote the book whose title I borrowed for this series, Forgotten God. It's about the Holy Spirit. And Francis Chan talked about, how do we let the Holy Spirit control us? How do we let Him guide us? How do we let Him direct us? And Francis Chan says this, in the craziness of our world, it takes tremendous effort to find a quiet place. It takes time to quiet your mind and quiet your heart before the Lord. It means turning off the music and the television or your cell phone. I don't know exactly what it will look like for you to be still before the Lord, but I do know that no matter what your personality, it is a spiritual discipline to be still, to listen, and to cut out the distraction of our world. And as we practice this stillness, this waiting, this being, it is then that we can experience deep intimacy and relationship with the Holy Spirit. I talked about in the very beginning of this series, most of us have an easier time relating to the idea of God the Father because we have one. We can relate to the idea of God the Son because many of us have sons. But many people are uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit and they're not sure what to do with Him, and so they ignore Him. But the Holy Spirit of God who lives in us desires to have this deep, intimate relationship, this connection, this life that He will help us embrace, that He will help us experience when we yield to Him. But every day I have to put Him on the throne of my heart, and before I can put Him on the throne of my heart, I got to get off the throne. And the prayer of my heart needs to be something like this. God, I need more of You. Holy Spirit, more of You and less of me.
Castle tall, I built up every wall. This is my kingdom and it needs to fall. I want You and no one else. refuse to gain the world and lose my soul. So take it all, I abandon everything I am. You can have it. The only thing that I need is my resume. Make me who I'm meant to be. You're all I want, all I need. You're everything. Take it all, I surrender. Be my king. Can I choose more of you and less of me?
Paul wrote about this in Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, when he says this: when I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. May you have the power to understand this love, as all God's people should. How wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. And God's people all say,
amen.
Amen. Well, my challenge for you today is this: if you have never experienced regeneration or being born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the words of Ananias to Saul, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and so that you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But if you've already believed and repented and been baptized and received the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, here's my question for you. What will you do this week to develop or improve this spiritual discipline, to be still and listen to God's Holy Spirit and to live in the Spirit every day? Every day. What do you need to do to put yourself in that quiet place in the morning where you step off the throne of your heart and invite him to take that place? That's the only way we're going to live to be the church that he wants us to be. What do you need to do to put yourself in that still and quiet place so we can all live in the Spirit and be the people God wants us to be? Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we thank you so much for this sermon series that has helped us learn more about who the Holy Spirit is, about all the wonderful things that He does in our life. And we thank you for the challenge today to live in the Spirit. But it all revolves around letting the Spirit have control of our lives, yielding to Him, surrendering to Him. And God, we pray for more of you and less of me in our lives. But Lord, help us not just pray that prayer and sing that song on Sunday mornings when we're here together, but help that be the passion of our everyday life so that we can put to death the deeds of our sinful nature and truly live in the Spirit every day. Help us, Lord, to be that church on fire. Help us as we have plans and activities that reach out into our community and bring people to this property, to this building that might not ever darken the doors. But more than that, Lord, help us to reach out to our neighbors, to our friends, to our co-workers. Help us to reach people where they are with this life-giving message about Jesus. Help us be that church on fire. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us, for empowering us to live this life, and help us live this life on mission for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand and let's sing our sermon response song.